Someone asked me one day this week who was preaching tonight, and I said, my barber. And I told him, I said, if you ever, need somebody to preach, just call your barber, you know. And I'm glad to have Brother Tyler with us. He's got a new addition to his family, and his family's growing, and I think that his business is growing. The Lord's blessing him, and I'm glad, you know. And so I want you to pray for him tonight. I told him a while ago, I said, you're at home, so I want you to feel at home. And so come on, Brother Tyler. God bless you.
Well, I'm certainly glad to be in the house of the Lord again with y'all tonight, and I desire a great interest in your prayers. I came here tonight with next to no idea what I was going to preach about. Truth is, I was rather reluctant to take this appointment tonight. Last several weeks, I've had the opportunity to preach a few different places, and God has blessed me in my study, and he's blessed me with wonderful liberty. The last time I stood in this pulpit here in my home church, I failed the Lord, and I embarrassed the church. I apologize to you then for it, and I'll apologize to you now for it. But it's my hope tonight to give the Lord the honor and glory that he deserves. And I hope that he'll bless me with the liberty that he has here in the recent weeks. And that I'll be able to share some of the thoughts that I've had. I came in here rather torn tonight about what I was going to be preaching. And this is going to be a little different for me. I'm going to have to go from one place to another. And I'm going to have to try and share the things that he showed me with you. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. And I hope it'll bring him the honor and glory that he deserves. If you have your Bibles handy, please turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. I'll be reading one verse, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And if you will, turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. I guess perhaps before I start reading in chapter 6, I should try and share my thoughts the Lord give me from 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. I've had to preach on this verse, several others from 1 Peter, last week in Arkansas, and I had to teach a lesson Friday morning, or a devotional, if you will, at Old Union in front of all those children. And as I began reading through those scriptures, I began to wonder why the Lord compared the devil to a lion. And sure enough, you know, a lion is a very fierce creature, but there are a number of very fierce creatures in the Bible. The Bible references bears, references dragons. Another big crater in the Bible.
You see, it's even recorded that when lions are out on the hunt, if they're creeping and their prey notices them alive, it's a lion will sit right up. And he'll look off yonder and act as if he's not paying that animal any attention. Lion wants that animal conquered. And once the lion gets close enough, and that animal is not paying any attention that it ought to be, that lion will pounce on that animal. And he'll dismember that animal. And he'll disown it. And as I began to read up on the hunting habits of a lion, I thought to myself, well, that sounds an awful lot like the devil. Another interesting fact about the lions, they like to hunt at night and in the early morning. Well, you know, that old devil, he's comfortable in darkness too, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he's very patient in the way that he'll come to us, and in the way he'll manipulate us, and the way he'll get between us and God. You see, the hunt for the devil is so much easier than a hunt for a lion. The devil, he'll allow us to get comfortable in darkness. And because of that wicked nature of Adam and sin, it's easy for us. It's easy to fall in the comforts of sin.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, there the devil is right there between us. But the devil, he don't have to pounce on us. He falls and peaks. All the devil has to do is for an individual to stay between him and God. And when that individual dies, the devil don't have to do no work. He don't have to break a sweat. He don't have to pounce with no great burst of speed. When an individual dies, there's a death between him and the Lord. The devil's got killed.
Yeah.
That soul drops right down in the burning pits of hell, and there will be forever. And I want to tell you something else tonight. The devil just don't hunt lost people. He'd rather have lost people because he can keep that soul separate from God, but he'll hunt a Christian just like he will a lost person. You know, as some people think, well, you know, once you get saved, you don't have to worry about the devil no more. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, that's not true. He'll come just as hard and fast for you. He'll sneak up on you however he can get to you and ruin your witness to the world. I can guarantee you he's going to do it. That's what he does. A year or so ago, I stood up in here, and I shared some scriptures that the Lord laid on my heart. I mumbled a couple words of thoughts that I was wanting to share with y'all here that night at the church, and next thing you know, my liberty was just gone. It was gone. And I don't blame the Lord for taking it from me. And I'll tell you why I don't blame him. Because my wife and I, we allowed the devil to come between us and the Lord. I just wanted to share those things about the devil tonight. And I'd like to go a little bit further into Genesis chapter 6. And I'll begin my reading at verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown.
And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Now I'm going to take just a moment there to try and explain this the best I can. Noah was perfect in his generation. He was not perfect like Christ. His generation was very wicked and a very evil people. And when the Bible references him being perfect here, he was as fine a fellow who walked with the Lord as that generation was ever going to have. But I do not believe that he was perfect like Christ was. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth and beheld, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories thou shalt make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life. From under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, and thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. I really desire an interest in your prayers. I want to be able to share with you tonight the things that the Lord shared with me about Noah. You see, Noah was commissioned with a great task. Everybody else in the world was just as evil and as wicked as you could possibly be. And Noah found grace in the sight of God and his family. And Noah had this great task before. I don't know that God has ever asked much more of a human being than he asked of Noah. To build something that big, to take all the animals that there were in the world, you see, there are endless possibilities of how God might have handled the wickedness of man in that time. Perhaps if Noah had refused to follow the leadership of the Lord, perhaps maybe God might have destroyed the whole world. And perhaps maybe he would have created a new human family. Perhaps maybe God would have found the next best choice, maybe the closest thing to righteous outside of Noah that he could find. I don't know how the Lord would have handled the situation had Noah not been willing to follow his leadership. But I'm grateful that he was, because if he hadn't, we may not be here today. But you see, that old devil was having a heyday back then. He had come to all those people all over the world. He got between them and the Lord. And they were so bad that it grieved the Lord's heart.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. We don't know a whole lot about this. I've looked and I've tried to find, and I'm sure there's more out there than I know. I don't know a lot about Noah's ministry. I just know the Bible tells us he's a preacher of righteousness.
Yeah.
So we have Noah out here preaching to this whole world and building this monster vessel. I'm sure there's nothing under the sun like it back then. What a testimony to those people. You know, they probably thought he was crazy when he began to tell them what was going on. They probably thought he was foolish. They probably thought he had some kind of a mental disorder. And the fact that he was building a boat to prepare for it, they probably thought he was wasting his time. I don't know how long that 120 years it took Noah to build it. I don't know. I would have said I did. But he had 120 years to appease these people, to preach to them. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know what would happen if them people had listened to him. Now, we know that when Jonah finally went to Nineveh and preached to those people got down on their knees, they repented to God, and God spared their city. And it's entirely possible if the people back then would have heeded the warnings from Noah that God may have spared them too.
Yeah.
Now, we know that the Bible tells us all things work together for good. You know, we have an account when God was dealing with the Egyptians, the free Israel. We have it recorded in the Bible that he hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, we all know that God is God, and he can do it as he sees fit. Perhaps he could have softened Pharaoh's heart. He could have done that. And the children of Israel could have got that deal early. And I believe the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. I believe he hardened it so that he could demonstrate all of his power. And the truth is, he didn't demonstrate all of it because it could have been so much worse.
Yeah.
I believe tonight, and I misworded what I said, I believe tonight that God just gave them a glimpse of what he can do.
Yeah.
But because God hardened Pharaoh's heart, God was able to use his power to witness both to the Egyptians and to Israel that he was the true and living God.
Amen.
And that he had all power. It amazed me that after everything that was done with the children of Israel, after everything that was witnessed, so many times after that is recorded how they strayed from God. And we begin to think, how would those people who've seen all that power and seen all those wonderful works, how could they stray from God like that? I believe the answer is a very easy one. I believe that devil got between them. If he got between God's chosen people then, he'll get between God's chosen people now. And I'll tell you something else, too. I don't know how much more of this God's going to help me to share, but God commissioned Noah to build this boat and to preach to these people, and that was what he commissioned him to do. And had Noah not done it, the whole world would have been in bad shape. He might not have made another man. He might have just given up on us altogether. And I'm thankful that he did. But you see, God commissioned the church.
Yeah.
But you see, this world's not going to be here forever. You know, we have a lot of lost people. They think they've got all the time in the world. And I can tell you, back when I was lost, I used to kind of get that idea too. You know, I remember the devil would come to me when I was sitting over there. I remember, of course, I know I heard Brother Moran preach on it too. I have no doubts about that. I remember coming in here all my life when I was a kid, but I remember one night in here, Brother Spurgeon was helping in a revival. And, you know, I love Brother Spurgeon. I think a lot of him. You know, his voice, it carries very well. And he got to preaching about rain and fire and brimstone and the end of the world. And I'll tell you what, he spooked me good. And I'm thankful that he did. Now, I didn't get saved that night. I can't tell you exactly what day it was I got saved. But that right there, that fear, you know, fear is a powerful motivator. It really is. It can motivate people to do a lot of things. And it helped me to get that pride and that vanity out of my way. And I didn't get saved the first time I got up on the altar. You know, I'll tell you why. I walked up there thinking, well, I'll go to the altar today, but I won't get saved. I was right. You know, that's all the devil has to do to stay between you and the Lord. Just keep that doubt right there. Hey, you know, today's not your day. Is that easy? And I'm so glad I finally got past that. I'm so glad I can not be between you and the Lord. Just long enough to repent. The Lord looked down on me. I'm so thankful me and him got together and that I was able to get the devil out of the way.
Well, I sure didn't come here tonight to disappoint anybody. I had more thoughts about this, but I just don't believe now is the time. I don't know when he'll bring them back to me. But I look forward to sharing them some other time, in some other place maybe. But I believe I'm done. And I know it might not be as long as what you'd hoped for, and it might not have been a very powerful message. And it might not have been a very uplifting message, perhaps, but it's all I've got, and I don't want to add anything to it. So I thank you for being here. I appreciate all of y'all. It's been a privilege to be a member of this church. It really has. And I look forward to the great things that I believe the Lord's going to do with us here. And I desire an interest in your prayers. I'd ask that you would pray that I would have better liberty. I've had some wonderful liberty here lately. God's been very good to me. But I need your prayers, and I need more of that liberty so that I can share the things that he shares with me. Because that's my job. That's my commission. If you're here tonight, you're not doing much for him. I ain't done much for him either.
But when I got to see my little boy, I just got to look at how much he's done for me and how very little I've done for him. It grieved me in my heart. Now I want to get out and I want to try and make him just, I'd like to try and make him somewhat as happy as he's made me. You know, every time we come to this house, we ought to just be thrilled to be here. You know, everybody in the world gets so excited over sporting events and stuff, but it ought to be Super Bowl Sunday every time we come into this house. Oh, I tell you what, people, he's been good to us, and we don't deserve it. I look at my life. I look at the way I've acted and the things I've done. I look at my children. I can go back to a time and place where the Lord forgive my unworthy soul. It really puts things into perspective. I love y'all. I really do. And I thank you for coming to be here tonight to listen to a novice minister trying my small and my weak ways to honor the Lord. Y'all pray for me, and I'm going to pray for you. And thank you for your time and your attention.
Brother Ernie, get us a song together, will you please?